Hello, I'm Ronnie Floyd, Senior Pastor of Cross Church. Thank you for tuning in today. Cross Church is a faith family that is passionate about sharing the love of Christ with the people of Northwest Arkansas, Southwest Missouri, America, and even the world. I thank you again for tuning in today. And please know that the entire Cross Church congregation and I invite you to join us in person at one of our 5 regional campuses. Come and be a part of our friendly, compassionate faith family. Go to crosschurch.com to learn more information about our fellowship of believers. I have some breaking news for you today. Prayer is the bridge to your future. Did you hear me? Prayer is the bridge to your future. Each one of us, we need to have a serious and ongoing conversation with God about the future of our life. I want you to imagine with me this morning that I represent where you are right now in your life. If you were to take a piece of chalk and you were to literally do a big honking circle around your life, I mean, that's your life, all the stuff, the good, the bad, the ugly, the challenges, the noise. And this is where you are presently. And over there, right over there, I see it right there. That's God's future for you, right here. And here's God's future for you. But the problem is, that's God's future for you, but you're right over here. There is a gap between where you are and between where God is and His future for you. I'm telling you today that prayer is the bridge to get you to experience the future God has for your life and for your future. Now today, when you leave here, I want you to leave knowing a couple of powerful things about your life. Today is about building your faith. Building your faith. Building your faith is you understanding about being convicted and having a conviction to believe God in your life. Let me ask you today, do you have a conviction to believe God in your life? You cannot believe God if you don't read God's Word. In fact, there is no faith apart from the Word of God. The Bible makes it real clear that it's with our ears we hear, and it's with our faith that we act upon the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So today is about building your faith, but it's also about building your future. Building your future. That is you having a vision to see God in your future. Do you have a vision to see God in your future? You say, Ronnie, can I really have that? Absolutely, you can have that. I would be fearful to know that God does not have a future for me that He wants me to experience for Him to be all a part of my future. Now, today it is so important that we remember just a couple of quick things in our mind about last week. Last week when we gathered here, we talked about the people of Israel. And we talked about how God had a sovereign plan for Israel. Therefore, I believe God has a sovereign plan for the United States of America. But listen, it goes further than that. Be encouraged today because God has a sovereign plan for your life and your future. Do you believe that today? Now, one of the things we confront in life is that when we even know that and believe that somewhat, we have some baggage in life. We call them obstacles. And if you ever want to go anywhere, you got to get rid of the obstacles towards your future. And one of the obstacles that every one of us face in life is the pain that we have in our past. The pain in our past. I mean, everyone has a little bit of pain in your past. And the older you get in life, the more pain you're going to have. You see, here's the thing. A lot of people really struggle with believing God for the future because they carry this backpack of pain on their life. Maybe you were raised in a tough home where mom and dad were not good for you. I mean, they provided you a place to live, but beyond that, they were never affirmative to you. In fact, some of you might have even grown up and mom and dad were abusive to you. Or perhaps you went through something in your life that, I mean, it was so drastic and so hurtful to you, you're still packing that pain in your backpack. I mean, that's really where the American culture is today, in millions of people's lives. And a lot of people have a real struggle believing that God has something for them. Some of us have the pain of our failure. God knows we've all failed, right? I mean, we've all failed. Some of us have done it behind the scenes. Some of us have done it pretty publicly. But regardless of how we failed, we've all have failed. Some of us have insecurities, which is part of that backpack we carry that's full of pain. But today, what I'm going to introduce to you in a moment is to a man, and I'm going to reintroduce him to some of you here today, about a man who understood pain, and he understood how to deal with his pain to go to the future God had for him. So we need to learn today. But it's not only about the pain of our past that sometimes is an obstacle to believing God, but sometimes it is this whole issue of the pressures in the present. We live in a day with a lot of pressures in the present time. I mean, it's everywhere, all of our lives. Many of us, we struggle seeing a future God has for us because, I mean, we are filled with so many pressures, so much noise in life. We have the pressures of kids and our grandkids. We have the pressures of home and the cost of the home and cars and the cost of the cars, the budget and the budget of the home. We got all this stuff. We go to work and we can't get away from it. We come to church, sometimes we don't feel like we're getting away from it. I mean, there's pressures everywhere in life. And if we're not careful, these pressures will derail us from getting where God wants us to get in life. You know, last week I talked to you about a people who lived with a lot of pressure. I mean, remember, they sinned against God, and God told his people, because you sinned against me, I'm gonna judge you, and I'm going to put you in a foreign land for 70 years, and you're going to become a slave. You're going to be abused in that land. And that's where God had them for 70 years. You remember that? But God told them also, at the end of those 70 years, I got a future for you. But I want you to know you're going to pay the price in the middle of it. And this is why we read the words of Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11 through 13 today, a verse many of us are very familiar with, but it says, "For I know the plans I have for you." This is the Lord's declaration, plans for your welfare, not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. How many of you need future and hope today? "For you will call to me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you." Listen to what God tells them. "You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." You see, God's people were under enormous pressure in their life. Pressure. The only thing that's going to get you out of pressure of life is death. So you have to learn how to live with the pressures of your life today. Family pressure, life pressure, career pressure, business pressure, 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 pressure. You can go on ball fields where you're supposed to relax, or golf courses where you're supposed to feel better about yourself. Pressure, pressure, pressure. That's why I don't play golf. It makes me feel like a failure. We all deal with our pressure. And that's why we need to understand that prayer is the bridge to your future. That's why we need to learn to pray, and that's why we need to learn to talk to God about our future, because the greatest way we can realize our future is to know how to talk to God about our future. Now, every one of you today, there are some of you very young in this room. To the youngest of you today, I want to challenge you today. Sit up, I want you to listen today, because I'm telling you, this is for you. And for all of you young adults here today, whether you're college age, whether you're single young adult out here in the professional world already, or a young married couple, you need to really dial in today and not let Satan steal this word. You need this word desperately in your life. And for those of you today that are in the middle years of your life, whatever we would categorize those middle years, you're in the middle of the second quarter, all the way to the end of the third quarter. Somewhere in all that, that third element of life, and that's where you are. Maybe your kids are beginning to grow up and they're beginning to leave the home. I mean, you're hitting the midstream of life. You need to sit up and listen today and not lose what God has for you. And for those of you that are entering the fourth quarter of your life, the fourth quarter, I don't know when that actually begins, but I'll let you define that. You know that you have some time left unless the Lord would call you home early, early, early. But I mean, maybe you have 20 years left, 30 years left or more, but I want you to listen carefully. This is for you. If God didn't have a future for you, He would have called you home already, determining that you had served the purpose of your generation. So as long as you are living here, God's got a purpose for you. And you need to go and discover God's future for you. Now, it was a little over a year ago that I preached on a Sunday morning from the very passage that I'm going to talk from today. And some of us might wonder, now, why are you going to do that again? Well, I'm going to do it again because this passage is just a model of a person who talked to God about his future and God answered his prayer. In fact, over in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, there is a long laundry list of men that God talks about in that story. He just gives record after record after record, and all of a sudden, he gives a brief mention to one man, and this one man is talking to God about his future. This man's name, some of you know. I've introduced him to you before. Maybe some of you, I'm introducing him to you for the first time. But his name is Jabez. Jabez. Some would say, well, why in the world are you going to teach from a passage that you taught from a little over a year ago? Because I'm going to teach it in a different way, but really because it's simple. I really believe God wants me to. And there are some passages in Scripture we do not need to ever become hesitant to return to. Because you see, this man represents something powerful for us. Most of Scripture, or most of people, would regard him as a nobody, but he was somebody that God answered his prayer. I need to sit up and listen to that. He was a man that was so strong in his prayer life that something happened, and we need to grab a hold of this. And I want you to listen to this. Choir, y'all wake up now. I want you to listen to what I'm going to tell you. He prayed, God answered. Now, you think you got anything to learn? He prayed, God answered, enough said. Can I get an amen in the house? I mean, listen, man. I mean, we all want our prayers answered, don't we? And you're out here in the middle of your future, and you're out here in the beginning of your future. You think it's the beginning. You don't hold the day or the hour. But you better seize the moment you have. In 1 Chronicles chapter 4, we read about this man by the name of Jabez. Get a copy of God's Word, open it up or scroll to it today, light up the house with the scrolls, or turn the pages. Amen. Verse 9, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. Powerful statement there. His mother named him Jabez and said, I gave birth to him in pain. Verse 10. Jabez called out to the God of Israel. Here's what he prayed. If only you would bless me, extend my border, let your hand be with me, and keep me from harm, so that I will not cause any pain. And God granted his request. Did you hear that? Look at those last five words. And God granted his request. If you are on an e-document looking at God's word and you can highlight those last five words. If you are in your Bible and you have your Bible open, get a pen out, mascara or something, and underline those five words. And God granted his request. You know why? Because prayer was the bridge that got him to the future God had for his life. Now, I want to bring absolute clarity about something today. What I'm about to talk to you today is not a formula. It's not a recipe. In other words, you do this, 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 and God gives you this. Uh-uh. I don't go there. All right? This what I'm going to teach you today is not a prescription as much as it is a description of the way we ought to pray. It is not a formula, but it is formative for your prayer. In other words, there are principles here that we need to gather, and we need to unashamedly pray it. John MacArthur, who's a pretty well-known Bible scholar to many evangelicals, MacArthur even says, you know, when we look at passages in the Bible, I'll give you one illustration, is what we talked to you about when we talked about talking to God about our spiritual growth, Colossians chapter 1, verse 9 through 12. I challenge you to start praying that some about your spiritual growth. And so with that, it'd be just like us praying that passage, or it's like us praying 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 10. MacArthur would say there are many prayers in God's word, and sometimes in life we need to pray the prayers that God seemingly has blessed and honored. And this is one of those prayers, and one of those prayers that we need to really pray, because you see, what we're going to pray is not what a man said. This is God's word. And remember what today is about. It's about building your faith and building your future. And how do you build your faith? You have a conviction. I'm going to stand on 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 10. I'm going to walk by faith toward the future God has for me in my life. That is what it means to talk to God about your future. Now, I got a big idea in this text today, and this big idea is what I want you to see this morning. Talk to God about your future. You talk to everybody else, talk to God about your future. Talk to God about your future. Do you do that in your life? Why is that important? Because prayer is the bridge to your future. Remember, here you are. God wants you over here. It's a process. And guess what happens? The more you pray, the more you never stay in the same place in your life. You say, well, I don't like change. I don't want that. That is a boring, dull life. You see, you love your comfort zone more than you love following God. And God wants you to move you toward becoming more like him and to follow him powerfully in your life. Now, who was Jabez? Let's talk about this guy for a moment. Who was Jabez? We're going to talk around this text before we spend the last few moments in it, because I've taught it before. I want to talk around it this time more, which I was not able to do before. Jabez means grief or sorrow. Something in his delivery. His delivery in the childbirth experience was evidently quite painful to his mom. You say, well, it shows you're a guy. It's always painful. Hey, give me a break for a moment, all right? He had other brothers. She didn't regard their experience of childbirth. But she evidently experienced so much pain with him that she named his name pain. Jabez, grief, sorrow, pain. I mean, that'd be a pretty tough road to hold, wouldn't it? What's your name? Well, mom named me Jabez. Wow, man, you must be a loser. Well, she said it was pretty tough. You know, I guess as a parent, where we want that to happen more, in the delivery room or in the midst of life when our kids go through tough times. There's nothing like when your kids go through tough times. Jabez identifies with you. That's why I chose him today, because I believe America is filled with millions of people, 322 million people in this nation, and they have one basic commonality beyond their sin. There's pain in all of them. And Jabez learned to overcome his pain, whatever that pain was, to seize the moment God had for him. Another great line in this verse 9 is that Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. That's a pretty powerful statement. We don't know how many brothers he had. In fact, before I forget it, I just want to be sure I say this today. And I've read the Bible many years now through at least one time, and each one of those years. And I'm going to tell you, and I've studied it, and I've heard others study it and talk about it and preach it and teach it. And you know what? Out of all of God's Word, to my knowledge, unless I have absolutely glaringly missed it, and every other scholar that I've studied, these are the only two times, the only two verses this man's ever talked about in the Scripture. That's it. And one of the things God said to him was, well, he was born and his mama named him Jabez, grief, sorrow, and pain, and he was more honorable than his brothers. Now, what does that mean, that he was more honorable than his brothers? God set him apart. There was something that set him apart from his brothers. He was worthy of respect that his brothers did not have. He had influence that his brothers did not have. And perhaps it was that Jabez wanted to be more what God wanted him to be than his brothers did. I mean, some of you live in families like that. Your brothers and sisters might live for the Lord, but they don't perhaps have the passion that you might have for the Lord. Some of you might be raised in families or been raised in families where your brothers and sisters aren't following God, but you are miraculously following God today. Well, God has set apart his brothers. What set him apart? I declare to you today, there was one thing that ultimately set him apart. You know what it was? Prayer. The hand of God and the power of prayer can set you apart from everyone else in life. That's why I want to just pause here a moment, and I'm going to go around the passage again. Let's learn from this one verse, and I want to give you three takeaways, three insights spiritually from verse number 9. First of all, adversity in your past can point you to a future God has for you. In other words, your pain, your adversity, it is not meaningless. It has meaning. And God can use it to build your future. Now, all of you know I'm a football fan, been a football fan for many years. I've always been an admirer of the great football coach by the name of Mark Richt. He was at this time last week, or almost this time last week, he was a head football coach at the University of Georgia. He was there for about 15 years. He averaged one in 9 to 10 games a year. As I left Pinnacle Hills the other day, one of my sons texted me, and he said, hey, Dad, Coach Mark Richt of Georgia just got fired. That's hard to believe. He averaged winning 9 to 10 games a year. I mean, everybody in Georgia loves the guy. He's incredible, but evidently they didn't like some things about his football coaching. 9 or 10 games wasn't quite enough. So they fired him. Well, Mark Richt is a born-again, strong believer in Jesus Christ. I mean, he is unashamed in his faith, and he is unapologetic, active in his church. I mean, I'm talking about a different kind of level here. I'm not talking about a guy who just, you know, nods to Jesus every now and then in front of a camera. I'm talking about a guy that lives it, man, deeply. Well, within 24 hours, he had 6 different schools call him, jobs offered to him. He ended up on Wednesday night, Thursday, taking the job of the University of Miami. You will hardly ever find a major Division I coach anywhere. I'm not sure I've ever seen one who gets fired from a major job where it's national news, breaking national news, and all of a sudden in 4 days, he has a brand new job in another city. That's just remarkable. Now, in all this, what's really amazing about this is that on Friday morning, I'm on the treadmill. I'm running. I don't like running on the treadmill, but I couldn't run outside. So I was running on the treadmill, and I thought, okay, I heard he had a press conference. So I went in, dialed up while I was running on the treadmill, about killed myself trying to find it. But I found his press conference live, And it was, there he was talking about how God had opened the door and peace had come, and the Lord showed he and his wife and had made the way for this job in Miami. And he played football for the University of Miami years ago and the 80s and in the late 70s. And one of the reporters in Miami, Florida, which is a very, obviously a pretty liberal, metropolitan, very diverse city in the nation, she asked him, it was the second to the last question in his press conference. They said, well, Coach Rick, what is the difference between Mark Rick, who played here, in the, she named the years, late 70s, early 80s, and the Mark, Coach Mark Rick today? What is the biggest difference in you? Or is there any difference? Well, man, I'm going to tell you, as soon as she said that, I knew where he was going. You're not talking about a guy that just nods here to, you know, in front of the camera. We're talking about a real live, vibrant, born-again believer. And he said, well, he said, I tell you what, I'm nothing like that guy. In 1986, I was one to Christ. I became a born-again Christian. I'm here today because God has opened this door and God's given my wife and I peace that this is where the Lord wills for me to be for the rest of my life. Now, I want to just tell you, friend, that is a powerful, powerful testimony, and that illustrates exactly what I'm telling you today. His adversity pointed him to a future that God had for him. Are you with me? Also, it's a great football story. But secondly, regardless of your past, God has a future for you. Regardless of your past, God has a future for you. You believe that? So some of you, you could cry foul. Jabez could have cried foul. He could have taken the victim mentality that America has today. I'm a victim. But he didn't do that. And that leads me to a third insight, and that is refuse to let the pain of your past become the destiny for your future. So many people, boy, they want to just let their pain paralyze them. You cannot let your pain paralyze you. Your disappointment, your hurt, your loss. But when you continue to verse number 10, I mean, what a powerful word it is, because I want you to notice something in verse 10, because there's another phrase there right at the top of verse 10 that I want you to look at. Jabez called out to the God of Israel. Called out. I challenge us sometime to call out to God in prayer. What does that phrase call out mean? Called out means this, literally, to cry out for help. That's what it means. It means that you know that you need help and you're crying out to God for help. It indicates something that we need to really grab a hold of in life today. It talks about being intense and passionate, convictional, full of humility. But listen, when we use this phrase, call out to God, we're asking you to join us in crying out to God for help. That's what Jabez did. Jabez called out to God for help, and he did it with intensity. Let me ask you today, do you pray with intensity? You may not always pray with intensity. I'm not saying that's a must, but you need to pray at times in your life with intensity. Do you pray with passion? Do you pray in humility? And do you pray with conviction? You can only pray with conviction when you know God has spoken to you in His Word and you're standing on the Word of the living God and you're convictional about what God has said and you're going to claim it in the name of the Lord for His glory. Well, I think there's a penetrating question that each one of us had better ask ourselves. And boy, I tell you what, if you don't get a lot today, you need to answer this one. Whom am I talking with about my future? Who are you talking to? Whom are you talking with about your future? Are you talking with your friends about your future? Talking with your colleagues about your future? Talking to your family about your future? Talking to your counselors, your advisors about your future? You talking with some headhunting firm about your future? Who are you talking to? Whom are you talking with about your future? I have a strong challenge for you today. Cry out to God about your future. Is there anything wrong with talking to people like your friends, your family, your colleagues, or some headhunting firm? Hey, if they're godly people, not at all. That's where you need to get your counsel from. But you better run through everything any man ever tells you. Every book you ever read, you need to run it through the power of God's word. That's the filter in your life. That's it. And that may be good what they say, but I'm going to tell you, it's a lot more important what God says than what they say. Especially when we're talking about your future. This is what Jabez did. I'm going to tell you what Jabez did. And I want to just remind you, what I'm about to tell you is not a recipe. It's not a hoop you jump through about your future. But undeniably today, it is a format that every one of us can stand upon because it's the word of the living God. You can stand on it for yourself, stand on it for your kids, stand on it for your family, stand on it for your business, for your career, for your church, for your country. Stand on it, man. So what did he pray? I want to remind you something now. Look at me. He prayed. God answered. What did he talk to God about relating to his future? Lord, here it is. Bless me much. You say, well, that's pretty arrogant. Or that's pretty selfish. Oh, no. That's because we don't understand the word bless. The word bless is a word that means, God, I want you to intervene in my future. God, I want the divine favor of God on my future. A blessing is favor. In other words, I know that I can't have all that God has for me unless God intervenes. Therefore, Lord, bless me much. God had no problem with him asking for the blessing of the Lord being upon him. And you don't need to have a problem with it either. Especially if you used it like he did for the glory of God. He prayed a second thing. Lord, enlarge my borders. Enlarge my borders. That word borders could mean terrain. It could mean territory. It could mean coast, like coastlines. In other words, it represents land that he now has influence. Places where he now has influence, and he was asking God, expand those places of influence. Enlarge those places of influence. So wherever you have influence today, it is the prayer, Lord, expand my territory. Enlarge my territory. You see, there are far too many believers today who need to stop letting your present and your future be directed by your own abilities, are restrained, limited because of your own training or your own experience. You see, this, your experience and your training and your abilities, all that does is keep you in the comfort zone. God doesn't want you in the comfort zone. He wants you in the faith zone. You know what the faith zone is? From where you are to where God wants you to be. That's the faith zone. That's where God wants you. Are you with me? And what did he do? He called out to God, Lord, enlarge my influence. Now, let me stop here a moment because you got to get this. This call out deal, I got to go back there a second. When you call out to God, for example, let's say today that it's Monday. Let's act like it's Monday and you're in your time with the Lord and you're going to talk to God about your future. All right? So you talk to him. It's great. Well, Tuesday afternoon, you already had an appointment with the doctor, and the doctor discovers something in your checkup that's abnormal, and the doctor becomes concerned. He says you need to come back tomorrow for more tests and more tests and more tests, and those tests occur. And it comes down to Wednesday, and you're getting pretty concerned. It comes down to Thursday. You walk in the doctor's office, and the doctor looks at you and says, "I'm sorry, I have bad news for you. You have pancreatic cancer. You have less than a year to live. It's all over you, man." Now, let me ask you something. On Monday, you talk to God about your future. Pretty monotone. You think when it came to Thursday night and you had to sit down with the family, how did you talk to God about your future then? You cried out to God. You called out. You knew you needed God more than ever before. You see, this next one we're going to talk about shows something glaringly challenging about what's going on in many of our lives today. I'm going to get to it, but look at this third thing here. He prayed, Lord, let your hand be upon me. Let your hand be upon me. He's talking about the hand of power, the hand of guidance. This morning we had a pastor and his wife with us, Doug Hickson, who has planted a church in South Dakota. Dana's parents, a week ago today at noon, were killed in Texas, both of them in a tragic car accident. They're from Mountain View, Arkansas. And Doug and Dana just had that funeral last Friday. Very tragic. They came to catch the plane back home today from Northwest Arkansas Regional to go home. And today looked different than last Sunday in their life. They understand things totally. And in the middle of worship, I saw Gina put her hand and she took her arm and her hand put on Dana's arm and hand to encourage her and to pray over her. When God puts his hand upon us, do you understand something? Everything changes. It's his power. It's his anointing, his blessing. And so today, it's like God is enlarging your borders, and all of a sudden, as God is enlarging your borders, you begin to realize, God, if you don't put your hand on me, I can't seize the blessings you're giving me. Have you ever been that blessed in life? Have you ever had so many open doors in your life you didn't know where you got to go and how am I going to keep up with this? Has God so enlarged your territory at times you don't know how you're going to do what you're going to do? It's only going to be with a hand and the power of God. That's what Jabez dealt with. I'm not equating myself to Jabez, but I can assure you over these last few months, I mean, man, it has been a challenge for me. God has so opened up so many doors, and I mean, it's just been so powerful to see those open, because I have prayed this for my life and the ministry and the opportunity God has afforded to me in my life at this season. And boy, I mean, God is just like blowing it open this past month in November. In 17 days, I preached in 9 different states plus here on Sundays. I mean, I was rolling. I had to always carry my pocket for my key because I didn't know what room I was staying in. That could be problematic. When you come in at 11:30 and you've guessed the wrong room and you're clicking, not good. That did happen to me, so you don't repeat that mistake. The point is that, man, I've had to call out to God about this part of my life more than ever before. Lord, keep your hand on me. I don't know how I'm going to get this done. I am totally insufficient if God does not step in. Now, let me just say this to you, and I say this to you and challenge you as a layperson, and I challenge our staff team today. listen, there are far too many lay people and far too many church types who get paid by the church who are too content to do life, business, ministry without the hand of God on their life. You have the hand of God on you? We're far too content. Man, we need the hand of the Lord to be upon us. If you think you're good now, well, you need to get over that pretty quick, or God will take you to school and show you're not very good at all. But if you think you're good now, you let God get on you. And he'll take all those abilities and all those blessings that he endowed you with and blessed you with and take you to places you've never been before. And you have to look at it and say, if only God is the one who could do that. Nobody else could do that. And so that's why Jabez, he experienced that in his life. And that's why he then called out to God and said, Lord, keep me from harm. Keep me from harm. You see, when God blesses you so much, you can become your own worst enemy. Did you know that? That's why you see a lot of people who are so blessed, they fall away from being what God wants them to be in life. Maybe they get a lot of resources, or they get a lot of success, or they get a lot of titles, or they get a new job in their company, or they get a promotion somewhere, or they all of a sudden are doing this, doing that, and all of a sudden all this prosperity, boy, I mean, this blessing becomes a problem. Jabez, God, keep me from harm, harming myself. Keep me from harming others in my life. I don't know about you, but I feel this. If you're a leader today, don't you feel at times this enormous entrustment given to you, and you are so weighty in that entrustment, you just don't want to mess up, and you call out to God, God, don't let me bring harm to anyone. I want to help. I don't want to harm. Any of y'all ever feel that? And Lord, protect me from evil, from evil. Evil's real. If you don't believe in evil, you don't believe in the Bible. But I'm going to tell you what, we live in an evil day. And we have seen over the course of the last several weeks in American life things that we've never been able to see before. And if you don't think evil's alive, I'm telling you today, evil is alive and well in the United States of America. And we need to pray against the evil. And we need to ask the God of heaven to restrain the evil power in this nation and the evil power against our lives. He is wanting to destroy you, destroy your family, destroy your marriage, destroy your kids, and destroy your church, and destroy your nation. You need to stand against it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Well, you got to look at what God did, because that's really powerful. He answered his prayer about his future. I mean, can you believe that bold prayer? God answered him. Bold, it's pretty bold to say, Lord, bless me much. Now, wouldn't y'all say that's bold? And Lord, enlarge my territory. That's pretty bold. That's pretty bold. In Texas, we'd say that's pretty cotton picking bold. And Lord, keep your hand on me. That's pretty bold. And Lord, keep me from harm. That's pretty bold. But I'll tell you why he did that. Because he had a conviction that God had a future for him that could only be realized by God himself. And notice those five powerful words at the end. I mean, I told you to write them down. I told you, listen, man, you need to scribble on it, underline it. You need to put it out there somewhere where you see it. And God granted his request. Wow. His motive must have been right. Amen? And he honored God. You see, some would think, well, this is about me gaining something. It's not about you gaining anything. Anything you have in your life is entrusted to you to bring glory to God with. And God will never trust you with more than he can trust you with. And the ultimate purpose of any position, any blessing, any resource is not for you and yourself, you and your family. It is ultimately to bring glory to God and to expand the kingdom of God throughout the world. That's what it's for. Why did God give Julio the voice he has? I thought about that a moment ago. I thought about the first time I heard him sing that. I mean, man, what a voice. He didn't give it to go to New York City. He didn't give it to go to Mexico City where he was raised in that country. He didn't tell him to go somewhere. No, he's using it for the Lord. God has entrusted it to him. It's not his tool, it's God's tool. You got your deal. You could sing your way out of a paper sack. But God's given you something that nobody else can do. Something God has endowed you with. Something with the power to see that few people get to see. God's prepared it for you, for your life. So here's what I want you to understand. We close with this. All right? You ready? Here we are. Here's my present. All right? All of us are out here today. All right, there's our path with God. Now follow me now. Lord, bless me much. Nothing staying the same. No, progressing here. Lord, enlarge my borders. Oh. Lord, I don't know how I'm going to keep up unless your hand gets on me. God, put your hand on me. Oh. And Lord, keep me from harm. Oh, God, keep me from harm. I'm realizing all that you've given me and entrusted to me. God, keep me from harm. Protect me from the forces of evil. And notice what happens. Nothing is the same once you start praying about your future. You know why? Because prayer is the bridge to the future God has planned for you in your life. Who are you talking to? Excuse me, whom are you talking to about your future? Now, in a moment, we're going to leave. And before we leave, I got one final word for you. It's pretty simple. We're going to get right to the point. So you listen carefully. Okay. Now, tomorrow morning, hopefully you'll have a time with God. If you don't, you need to learn how to have an appointment with God. You say, well, I'm not a morning person. Then fine, do it at night. Well, I'm not a night person. Well, do it at noon. Well, I'm not a noon person. I eat at noon. Okay, just do it, all right? And you turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 4, and you stand on God's word of verse 10. You talk to God about your future. You say, well, I don't like that verse. Well, find you one. That's not the point. Talk to God about your future. And maybe some of you today need to grab God's word and just come to this altar in a moment and take your Bible and open it up, or sit in your chair while we sing in a moment, or stand to your feet while we sing in a moment, take God's word and just pray 1 Chronicles 4, 9 and 10 over your life, especially verse 10. You see, we need to pray about our future. Do you pray about your future? That's a serious and ongoing conversation that has to keep on. And so I want to urge you to do that today. Somewhere, somehow, you got to act on what you just heard somehow. And for those of you that have never met Jesus as Lord today, he's never changed you, never forgiven you, I'm telling you, there's hope for you. Jesus has a future for you. And that's the most important future you're ever going to have, is the future God has for you. That's only discovered through a personal relationship with his son, Jesus Christ. You'll never be all God wants you to be without Christ. In a moment, we're going to sing a song, and when we sing this song, I want to urge you to leave where you're seated, come to the nearest aisle, talk to one of our pastors. They'll be located at the end of each one of these aisles here, and I want you to come and tell them, I want to give my life to Christ. Maybe you've never been baptized like you saw someone baptized a while ago. You need to follow the Lord in baptism once you know the Lord. Maybe you're not a part of a church, and maybe you need to get active in a church here in Northwest Arkansas. Come and join Cross Church today. Come to one of our pastors here. Maybe you have a prayer need today. We'd love to pray over you, or you can kneel here at this altar and talk to God about anything on your heart, or you can come and bring 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 10, and talk to God about your future, or just come and bare your heart to God about what's going on in your life that you want to talk to him about. Maybe God's calling you to ministry. You need to yield. God can handle you. If he took a guy like Jabez and did with Jabez what he did, he can do it with you. Trust the Lord. Desire his hand on your life.